We're going to be talking about gaining spiritual confidence, and I've got a little show and tell if you haven't guessed already. Terrible question to start a sermon with, but why not? Anybody ever have a breakdown or your car won't start? Yeah, it's probably just about everybody here. It's a bummer. I'm wondering if some of the kids here might be willing to help me. I have right here my emergency box from the trunk of my car. These are things, this box has been in my car or my various cars for the past 15 years. I'm going to pull some things out and see if you guys can tell me what they are and how you could use them. All right, here we go. These are one of my favorites. All right, what is it, Sarah?
Jumper cables.
Jumper cables. And what can you do with jumper cables? You could jump rope, but they weigh about 10 pounds, so that'd be a pretty crummy jump rope. Yeah. Yeah. You take one red and one black, you put it on your battery, and you take the other red and the other black and put it on somebody else's battery. If your car won't start, it'll start yours. If their car won't start, it'll start theirs. I bet you I've used these 100 times or more being in the car business. They are heavy, heavy duty, and they work when those stupid little boxes that they sell don't.
All right, what else we got in here?
Oh, here's one. Anybody know what this is? What is it, Jacob? What is it? Air pump, yeah, you got it right, or a compressor. What can I do with this?
Pump yourself up.
Yeah. I'm married, so my wife can pump me up. You put this in the electrical socket of your car, and if I've got a tire that doesn't have a hole in it and needs air, I can pump it up. Or my spare tire, if I haven't checked it in like 5 years in my trunk, oops. I can pump this up. Or if somebody I know, and I'm out at the restaurant, I was out with a missionary one time and we came out and he had a flat tire and his spare hadn't been checked in a while, and so we were able to get his tire changed and back on the road. Good thing to have. All right. Few of these. Yeah, wrenches, yeah. With a wrench, what can I do?
You can put back on parts that are falling off.
Yeah, I can take parts off and put parts on.
Like you can take off the bolts on your tire and put on new ones.
Yeah, with a big wrench, you could take the nuts off or the bolts off your tire and put them back on, yeah. Or with a little wrench, maybe you could take a hose off and put a new hose on and fill it back up with water. I've done that in New York City. So, or I could change the battery off and put a new battery on. This here is my emergency breakdown box. There's a few other things in there too, but I won't drag it out. We're doing a series on gaining spiritual confidence from 1 John, and last week we saw that God created the world, humanity broke the world, God sent His Son, the life of God, back into the world to redeem the world, to rebuild the world, and to change the world one person at a time, one church group at a time. And through Jesus, we can share in the life of God in the world and have a whole new relationship with God. Sometimes, however, we can get going down the road and our relationship with God seems like it starts to break down. Or we can get going down the road, our relationship with one another in the Church of Jesus Christ can start to break down. You ever felt like your relationship with God was breaking down? Ever felt like your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Jesus is breaking down? What tools has God given us to have in our spiritual breakdown box? That's what we're going to talk about today. There's two tools in particular that John highlights in this verse. The first is the truth. The first is the truth. So, right now, this time of year, if I leave my office at 5:00 in the evening and walk up the street back to the house, and if Donna's still at work, when I walk into the house, I have to walk into each room and turn on a light so I can see where I'm going. Because otherwise, I'll walk into walls or kick the furniture or trip over a dog bone and break my neck or something like that. Verse 5 says, "This is the message that we have from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. Think about that with me for a moment. He doesn't have any darkness at all in him. And what does light do? Well, it exposes what you can't see in the dark. So God is light, and the light exposes everything. Light, God's light, exposes everything about ourselves. God's light is the truth. He doesn't need a light switch to be turned on to see anything. He sees it all. Not only that, God can see the whole world when it's dark outside. Not only that, God sees and knows the thoughts of our minds and our hearts. He knows what I'm thinking when I snap at my wife. He knows what I'm thinking when I lust in my heart. He knows what I'm thinking when I tell a little white lie. He knows what I'm thinking when I don't truthfully address a problem. He knows what I'm thinking when I avoid somebody that I don't like. He knows what I'm thinking when I avoid that difficult conversation that needs to be had. God is light. We are not. And if we don't walk in his light, John says, we are not practicing the truth. Is there anyone here along with me who's willing to admit, I do not practice the truth all the time? Yeah. Not only does he know everything about ourselves, he also knows everything about our church. He sees everything individually, and he sees everything corporately about how we relate to one another. He sees when we don't tell one another the truth. He sees when we have negative feelings towards one another. He sees when we harm one another and we don't go back and try to repair it. He sees when we don't communicate well. He sees when we become stubborn to avoid understanding one another. He sees when we want things our way no matter what. He sees when we share the bad news about somebody with somebody else who's not involved. He sees when we need to change, but we dig in because change makes us uncomfortable. He sees that we prefer people who are like us and struggle to love people who are different from us. God is light. No darkness at all. Chances that there might be some darkness in West Church. As children of God, under the blood of Christ, God loves us even knowing the truth about us. His love for his children is not jaded by our wrongs. And his love is so pure, he doesn't want us to stay in the darkness. Avoiding the truth leads to self-deception. Avoiding the truth leads to self-deception. Look with me at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. Christians lie. Christians deceive themselves. Christians do wrong. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Whenever we act or say or think we don't do wrong, John says, we are fooling ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we refuse to admit that we have done wrong, we accuse God of being wrong, and we deny his word. Verse 7, this dynamic works its way out in the way believers behave with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses all our sin. We're either walking in the light with one another, or we're walking in the darkness with one another. Wow. So let me tell you something about myself. I like being waited on way more than I like waiting on others. I like it when someone brings me my food better than having to get my own food and better than having to get food for somebody else. Donna loves to bring me food. She's really good at it, and it's one of the ways she loves on people, is by bringing them and giving them good food. And she enjoys it. So, in that sense, we make a really good pair. But sometimes, I demand my food. Sometimes, I criticize my food. Sometimes, I ask her for more when I know it annoys her and when I don't need more. If there was a videotape of this routine in our house, I would be ashamed to have you watch it. So why do I keep on doing wrong when it bothers her? Am I deceiving myself? I am. Why do I keep doing it? I like it more than I want to admit. I like it more than I'm willing to change for her and for God. Avoiding the truth leads to self-deception. Self-deception is a trap. Here's the truth about wrong. If you keep doing it, the reason you keep doing it is that part of you likes it and is unwilling to change. And if you're unwilling to change in the face of God's love for you, That's a problem. There's this part of us in the very nuclear core of our hearts that is filled with a sense of personal pride. Not the pride that I can do good things and can be a good person, but a pride that is, I want my way, and the rest of you, I don't care. And one of the ways that pride manifests itself in our lives is self-deceit. We trick ourselves because pride is always right, right? And if you're right, guess what you're not? Wrong. And if you're not wrong, how can you ever be wrong? Self-deception is this vicious, inescapable circle that keeps us trapped in the endless lie that I am okay and nothing needs to change. Self-deception can also be a vicious circle that can cause a group, even a church, to think that everything is okay and nothing needs to change. We can become immune to the truth if all we ever believe is our own press. We can become immune to the truth if all we ever believe is what we want to hear from other people, our friendly press as a group. John says that truth is actually our friend. One of the things that really, really surprised me about living here on the North Shore was how much poison ivy there is around here. So I came here in January, and we walk our dogs every day, multiple times a day, and we walk them all over the place, in the woods, in the trails, on, you know, down the street. And when I came, there were no leaves on the trees. There were no leaves on the underbrush. Everything was barren, and everything looked good. And all of a sudden, when spring came rolling around, I started to see these little shiny green heart-shaped leaves in threes on the ground and in the trees. And I was like, is that poison ivy? Because I get a really bad reaction to poison ivy, and I avoid it at all costs. And all of a sudden, in the various places that I was used to walking, I saw poison ivy everywhere, and it's everywhere, man. It's so much on Taylor Street, especially right behind the church there. If I walked in there, I would come out scratching my head off. Wrong in our hearts against God and wrong in our hearts against others can be like the poison ivy that comes out in the spring. Many times we don't even see it there, but then God brings the spring, and there it is, green as day. And we have to change the way we're going, or we're going to get hurt, and we're going to hurt one another. This is how our relationship with God and our relationship with people gets all hollowed out on the inside. When your relationship with God is no longer based upon the truth, it shifts to being based upon falsehood. When your relationship with God is based upon a lie, love leaves the relationship. An empty veneer of spiritual phoniness takes its place. God never lies to us, ever. And if we're lying to ourselves, thinking that we can lie to him, we need the love back. And love includes dealing with the truth. There's a song by a contemporary Christian artist named Matthew West entitled "Truth Be Told" by Matthew West. You will not be disappointed if you listen to that today. Here are the words. This is a song. Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask you how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told. The truth is rarely told now. I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Wow. We all have this self-centered spark of pride within us. We all have trouble dealing with the God's honest truth. We avoid the truth with God sometimes, and we avoid the truth with others. And when we avoid the truth, what can happen is that relationships degenerate into being built upon falsehood. And if falsehood grows and grows, and we don't ever admit it, we start building a house of cards between God and between one another. And the house of cards is going to crash if we don't face the truth eventually. And God's love helps us to face the truth. So the first tool in our emergency repair box in our relationship with God and others is truth. The second is confession. Confession. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's unpack that phrase by phrase. If we confess our sins. The Greek word for confession comes in two parts. The first part is homo. The second is logeo. Homo, logeo. Two parts making one word. Homo means the same. Legeo means to speak or to say. Confession is saying the same thing that God does about our wrongs. Confession is telling the truth on ourselves. Confession means being rigorously honest on our part. When we confess, we admit to God that we were wrong. We name it, we acknowledge it, we tell the truth about it, we don't blame anybody else, and we make no excuses. And we can do the same thing with one another as well, as people. Confession is telling the truth on ourselves. Secondly, confession is based upon the gospel. If we confess our sins, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins. Now, let's think about that for a minute. So, what he's saying is we confess, God is faithful, God is just to forgive us. I do wrong, I confess, and God forgives me each and every time. Now, does that make complete sense to you? Because it doesn't really absolutely make complete sense to me right off the bat. For instance, if God is faithful and just, and he has said, I want you to do two things, Bill. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I don't love my neighbor as myself. Is he just and faithful when he just forgives me and lets me off the hook? It doesn't seem like justice to me. How is God just when he lets me off the hook? So it's not faithful and just to himself. Well, is he faithful and just to me? I confess, I do wrong, I confess, and God forgives me each and every time I confess to him. Is that being faithful to me? If your kids keep doing the same foolish thing again and again and again and again and again, and they're like wrecking their lives, right? Aren't you going to say, you need to stop it. You're being a dingbat. You're being foolish. You need to straighten up and fly right, or you're going to end up in the gutter. I remember one of my son's kindergarten teachers told him that. I don't know what she was thinking. But to be faithful to an errant child means that you have to offer correction. Otherwise, you're not being faithful, nor are you being just. So, how is God faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Well, there's God, there's me, and there's Jesus. Let's think about Jesus for a moment. God the Son, as we said last week, entered into the world to redeem sinners. And he died on the cross, not because he was guilty, but because we are. He died as a criminal, not because he broke the law, but because we did. And he died and paid a penalty that wasn't his, but was ours. So, Christ died for our sins, we believe, as Christians. If the Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, died for your sins and died for mine, is there any punishment left for them? Is there any judgment left for them? Is there any wrath from God left if Jesus took all the wrath, all of the punishment, and all of the judgment on himself? There can't be, unless what he did was insufficient. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgives us every single time, not because we deserve it. No way, no way. Because Jesus paid for it. It's done from eternity past to eternity future. And when I confess, what I do is I remember again and again and again, oh, so many times, what God has already done. It's not because I lost it and I need to get it back. It was always there. I was just avoiding it. Confession brings the cross right back front and center into who I am. It's almost like a dagger. Right in the middle of my sin, God thrusts the dagger of the cross, the sin that I'm struggling with right now, right today, and he says, no, 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 Jesus died for this one too. Take that, Satan. Confession is based on the gospel. Confession also cleanses our hearts. Cleanses our hearts. So I was talking with Dave Neff about trustee stuff the other day, and he was telling me about an occasion we had at the church. Middle of the summer, church is full of VBS kids. Oh man, having a lot of fun, so much going on. and the toilets downstairs started to overflow. Oh, wow, what a mess, right? Couldn't pick a worse time. Well, what was the problem? Well, come to find out that there's a drain field, a cesspool, somewhere over here towards the road, and the line into the drain field, into the cesspool, was clogged. So first we had to find it underground. Then we had to open it and suck it all out with a honey dipper. Then somebody had to go down there and clean out the drain. Yuck! That's disgusting. You heard it on Sunday morning. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I confess, God continues cleansing me from the inside out. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to live a lie. I don't want to be out of fellowship with him. I don't want a fake relationship with my brothers and sisters here at West Church. I want God to cleanse me and change me and teach me how to live with a clean conscience. I want to be in fellowship with God, and I want to be in fellowship with you. I want God to clean the cesspool I have right here, and he will. Confession is like cleaning the cesspool line of our hearts. And God cleanses our hearts one confession at a time. One confession at a time. Ultimately, confession brings a clean conscience. Look with me at verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, we enjoy one another. We enjoy the mercy of God and Jesus Christ. There are few things as wonderful as having a clean conscience before God with nothing in your past to haunt you. When we confess, fellowship is restored and the change process in our life continues. And every time we confess, we remember that Jesus died for our sins. We remember that what he did was enough for our sins, past, present, and future. And fellowship with him invites him into my wrong self, and he cleans away that self one confession at a time. I would rather confess than live a lie. Confession is where the joy is at. The lie brings nothing but fear and a stockpile of shame that'll haunt you to your grave. Confession brings joy and a clean conscience. You can wake up in the morning, not be down on yourself. Wow. I want those tools in my toolbox, you. Truth and confession. Got one more thing to say, but I do want to remind each of you to take a moment, fill out that Let's Connect card. Especially if you're here for the first time, I'd so like to connect with you. If you're here for the second time, welcome back. I hope that the kind of fellowship that we're talking about this morning is what you are experiencing as a worshiper here at West Church. If you want to respond to this morning's message, if you have a prayer request, just drop that in. Here, if you're here live, you can put it in the offering plate before you exit the door, whichever room you're in. If you're watching online, you want to respond, our church website, up in the upper right-hand corner, Let's Connect card. I look forward to seeing those every single week. So we've been talking about the tools that God has given us to repair our relationship with God and also to repair our relationships with one another. And I want to add one more warning. The tools of truth and confession always have to be applied to you first before you can begin to think about applying them to somebody else. Okay? This is just a pastoral friendly reminder about that. When I was a young Christian, we would have these talks in youth group in which the youth leader would take us into the Bible and we talk about speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. And you know what we would all do, all of us young kids? Each of us would think about all the things that annoy us about our friends and start going to one another to confront one another about all the things about you that annoy me. And not only was it annoying to me, but it damaged a lot of relationships. Most of the time, my reaction to those admonitions was wrong. Because if because of what I am saying to you today, you think that God wants you to dump the truth on all the people around you who annoy you, you're missing the point. The point is, God loves you. The point is, God knows what's wrong with you. The point is, He wants to work on you. He wants to work on me. He wants to change your heart towards other people. He doesn't need your help all that much to change other people's hearts. You and I are the hard case, not the people around us. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a little catchphrase that the first time I heard it, I said, that's wrong. But the more I heard it, I was like, huh. And you can write this down and take it to the bank. Here it is. Whenever I am disturbed, no matter what the cause, the problem is always me. Whenever I am disturbed, no matter what the cause, the problem is always me. God has not anointed you to work on other people's sins as much as He has anointed you to deal with your own. And once you've dealt with your own, again and again and again, and you know what lives there, perhaps, then, just perhaps, you're able, once you've taken the log out of your eye, then maybe you can be able to see clearly to take the speck out of somebody else's. And in an AA meeting, when they share with one another, this is how it works. They don't say, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. What they say is, you know, I've struggled with that too. This is what God showed me. I've struggled with that too. And this is what I'm learning right now. I'm struggling with that right now. And I need God to show me something. They share out of their own weakness and out of their own brokenness what God has shown them, and everybody who hears it, who needs it, is benefited by it. God has given us the gift of confession so that we know that we know that we know that we know how much He loves us. He loves us so much that we can come to Him again and again and again with our wrongs and learn how to live with a clean conscience and hope for change. Here's the thing about being a Christian. There's nothing better in any other faith system or having no faith at all or in any other relationship. Even when I mess up, and I've messed up big, trust me on that, God never stops loving me and always wants to help me every single time I'm willing to admit that I need help. You cannot say that about any other relationship that you have ever had. And there is no other God like that in any other religion. Why would anyone not want to be a Christian? Let's pray. Our Father, you know us. We know you do. So we sit here in your light as it shines into every nook and cranny, to every corner, every closet, every room, every thought. Thank you, God, for shining on us. We take the poison ivy that we see there, and we ask that you would forgive us because of what Jesus did. And you would clean it out, God. Clean it out. We want to walk in the light as you are in the light. We want to walk together in the light so that the light might shine with brilliance and point to the God of light. Help us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.